Okay. Just one second here. I just have to get one more thing set up. Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I don't know what happened with that connection, but maybe just a few more questions. I won't take up your whole day.
Okay. Hey, listen, can I get a copy of the DVD whenever you get it made?
Oh, absolutely. Here's what I usually do is when your interview's done, we'll transcribe it and we'll do a summary of it and index it, and then I'll return the whole thing back to you. And if I have any questions, like what did you say that boat's name was? I couldn't read it, or something like that. I might ask you a few questions to help me clarify things.
And sure, then, sounds good.
And then once it's finished, I'll make you as many copies as you want. I usually put them in a little notebook, and I put the CD in there with the audio file and the transcript and everything in there so that you can give it to friends and family.
Well, you're very efficient.
Well, if it seems like the least we can do for your time and effort that you put into this, so...
Well, I thank you. Well, go ahead and fire away.
Okay, let me see. Oh, well, the question I was asking is, you said that your mom kind of knew that you were going up north to Alaska because of the kind of gear that you were issued, but did you have very good contact with your family when you were in Alaska?
Yes, by mail. The mail was good, but it was censored, but she knew where I was, and maybe every day I'd drop a hint, but she never knew the location. She just knew I was up there somewhere in cold weather.
Uh-huh. And how about your brother was in the, in World
War? Southwest Pacific.
Okay, and did she know where he was?
She knew he was in the South Pacific, but that's about it. He landed at Angar, Pillaloo, and Lady. She never knew those things, no, not until he came home.
How about you? Did you know where he was?
No, I knew he was in the South Pacific. I'm glad you brought that up. He's 5 years older than me. He graduated from Auburn. He came in the Army 1 year behind me. He was commissioned a second lieutenant in the combat engineers. And we met in San Francisco at the top of the mark, Hopkins Hotel. He was going south and I was going north. And at the time, I didn't know where I was going, but I knew I was shipping out. But he knew where he was going, but he knew he was going to the South Pacific.
Wow.
But we did see each other. Right before he shipped out to the South Pacific, and shortly thereafter, I left Alameda and went to see us in Bremerton.
Okay. And did you?
But we had good mail. I mean, I would get mail from him periodically, and he would receive mail from me. They were pretty good about getting the mail.
Oh, that's good.
There were no stamps. It was free.
Was that the Army Transport Service that brought your mail in?
No, it would probably come in on Navy planes.
Okay.
We had Navy transports, what do they call them? They were BR squadrons. Anyway, they brought passengers and they brought mail and they brought other things too, yeah.
Okay. Now, what about news about other theaters of the war? Did you have a newspaper or any kind of radio broadcasts?
Yeah. We did, and also, as I may have told you, that we copied the press, the Associated Press and others transmitted by CW, by code, the news, and we would copy the news.
And
then later on, they had a little paper, the Dutch Harbor News. In fact, I got some copies of it here.
Oh, I've never seen that. So that had that kept people informed about what was going on?
Yeah, I'll have to take one of them up. I'll mail it to you.
Yeah, if you think of it, that'd be great. I haven't seen one of those.
You have? Well, I'm sure I can find one somewhere. I don't know right this minute where I'm going to look, but I know I've got them. I've got one for VJ Day, I think. I'm sure.
Okay. Well, if you find it and you're willing to send it to me, if you don't want me to keep it, I'll scan it and send it back
mail,
to you.
I can copy it.
Okay.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't send the original. It's probably yellow with age.
Okay.
But I can copy it. I've got a copy, a fax copy, and a printer, all one.
Okay, sounds like
you're... Or two, I think, yeah.
You're pretty well equipped there.
I am. I'm, even though I'm stay current.
Do you remember what your first impressions were when you arrived in Alaska, either at Kodiak? Well, you didn't get to get off in Kodiak, but the first time you got there, what?
The first in Alaska I saw was the Inland Passage. It was beautiful. I was scared to death. I knew I was going into a combat zone, and I was scared. I was only 19, but it was, I remember the beauty along the shore as it went along the shore. And I've since been back up the Inland Passage on the Alaska Marine Highway ferry system, and I still think it's awesome going up that passage, seeing the eagles and the whales and all that stuff. That was my first impression. Then as it went across, it became bleak. And Kodiak, I only saw it from the deck of the ship, and it didn't look too inviting. And then just thereafter, it was bleak. All the time it looked decent was in the summer when the orchids or one of these flowers, they said they were orchids, were blooming in the tundra.
Mm-hmm. And what about that ride across? Was that a pretty harrowing trip?
It was. We had a storm, and I remember that. I'm glad you asked that question. The ship got up on the crest of the waves, the screws came out of the water, and I remember that, it shook.
Oh. That couldn't have been...
You realize what I'm talking about? The waves were like, I don't know how many stories tall, and the Baranof was not that large a ship, and it went up on the crest of them, and it seemed like it poised up there, and the screws were turning, and the ship just shook.
Yeah, I know that feeling. That must have been pretty frightening in the middle of the ocean.
Well, plus for some landlubber who was just out there for the first time.
Yeah, I bet. Let me ask you about your radio experience. It sounds like you were a really good radio operator. Did you ever use that skill later on in life?
I have to tell you a story about that. When I dropped out of Auburn, they're supposed to work for Southern Bell, and they said it was a recession, and they didn't have a job for me. The local beer hall, some of the veterans were out for the summer or whatever. We'd meet and talk about things, and so they told me to join the 5220 Club. Well, the 5220 Club was $20 a week for 52 weeks, unemployment compensation. And so when I went in there to apply, they said, "What skills do you have?" I said, "International Morse code." No, they did not have a job in Alabama for that.
Let's see. What did you keep in touch with any of the guys that you served with, or did any of them really stand out as being exceptional people in your mind?
Well, yeah. I mean, I remember some of them. In fact, I sort of grilled them as to what they could do and gave them responsibilities according to that. Like some copied what is called Fox. They just sat there and they copied the messages all day. They were coded, five character codes. And they just sent them down below to the coding room and they would decode them. And in the headings, they would have addresses coded. So a lot of them they copied did not belong to us. They belonged to people all over the Pacific. So they were called Fox. And they broadcast simultaneously from San Francisco and some other points too. And you had to copy them night and day because some of those messages belonged to us. Then you had other operators that were skilled and you did point to point Dutch Harbor to Dutch Harbor to Attu and Dutch Harbor to wherever, sending messages out, specific messages. So and then you had one guy, Fisk. I still remember his name. He was a scrounger. He could not. They could not break down any of his messages. He made so many mistakes. So I pulled him off of that, and he was to scrounge and get food or whatever, something good, beer, whiskey, whatever he could get.
Was he?
He was called him the scrounger.
Did he turn out to be pretty good at that?
Oh, he was exceptional. I often wondered when he got out of the Navy, what he did for a living.
That's funny.
But you do that, when you're in the position of authority and you're responsible, you had some that made good coffee and you just had some that said, "Don't you touch your coffee pot."
Let me ask you a question about radio traffic. Did the Navy and the Army kind of share radio traffic, or did you communicate very well?
No, there was no interplay between the AACS and the Navy radio. No interplay at all.
Did that prove to be a problem?
Nope. No, not to my knowledge.
Okay. Okay, maybe one more question, then I'll let you off the hook.
Okay.
I don't know if you're aware of it, but there's the Aleutian World War II National Historic Area that's based out of Dutch Harbor. It's one of the National Park Service areas, managed in partnership with the Unalashka Corporation. And then in December 2008, President Bush designated Valor in the Pacific. That includes three sites in Alaska. It's Attu, Kiska, and a aircraft wreckage on Atka, and five sites at Pearl Harbor and the Tule Lake Japanese internment camp in California, and they call that Valor in the Pacific. My question is it important to you that there's a national recollection of what happened in the Pacific and in Alaska during World War II? Is it important to you that there are places like this that people will remember your contribution?
Absolutely. In fact, I'm very disappointed because most people you speak to don't know about the Aleutian campaign, and they don't know that the Japs took our land. So I'd say maybe 1 out of 100 know about it. Yes, I'm unhappy because they don't.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's our whole goal, is we're trying to spread the word and get the stories out. So I really appreciate you, this kind of interview. I can't tell you how much people appreciate this kind of first-person experience. And so I really thank you for taking the time to talk with me.
Well, if you have any other questions, just call me back. I'm almost homebound now. I've got spinal stenosis. And I used to, as I mentioned to you earlier, I led tours with the Friendship Force, which is a cultural exchange organization, and live with people all over Thailand, Australia, Brazil. You mentioned Soviet Union, just lots of travel. So all of a sudden, cut the travel down.
Oh, yeah. So you're probably feeling pretty isolated then.
Well, now, every now and then I get somebody to come through here and take us to Mobile Bay and we'll cruise or we'll go there. We owned a condominium for a long time on the Gulf Coast. And I would love to go sit on that deck and smell that salt air.
Oh, it's beautiful down there.
Yes. You've been down to Gulf Shores, Alabama?
I have, yes.
Okay, well, we were 0.8 of a mile from that public beach, west beach, on the beach. It was called Emerald Shores.
Oh, I'm jealous.
It's gone now. We had a Hurricane Ivan that beat it up pretty bad. It was built in 1984. I bought it on paper. So I'd owned it as a result of buying it on paper since 84. 2004, Ivan hit. We had it 20 years where we used it quite a bit. And a developer came out of the woodwork and said, hey, you know, we'll build a high-rise there and we'll give you a comparable unit and we'll let you upgrade to a larger unit at pre-construction cost. And so everybody voted to, yeah, well, that sounds good. We'll get a new unit. Well, the guy went, tore our unit down, our complex down, went bankrupt. We had to sue him.
Oh, no.
Oh, it made, boy, yeah, people hated him.
Oh, I bet. Oh.
Well, you know, if you think of something else, I'm here most of the time, so
okay.
We have a senior center. We go up there for luncheons and do various things, but most of the time I'm around here now, except going to doctors and dentists.
Okay. Well, as I said, I'm going to send this over to get it transcribed. It'll take a little while. I've got somebody lined up to do it, but in the meantime, do you want me to send you the audio disc?
Well, whatever you normally do, just do that.
Okay.
Eventually, you will send me the audio disc. Is that right?
Yes, I just started yesterday working with a lady who's a professional transcriber. So she's doing one interview, and we're going to work through it, and then I'm going to send her all the rest, including yours. And so I think she'll be able to get through them very quickly because that's just her job.
All right.
So I'm guessing it'll take maybe as long as 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay with you?
Oh, sure.
Okay. All right, well, I'll get moving on that, and let's keep in touch with each other. You're on email, so I can communicate with you that way, too. So if anything, if you decide you don't want to wait and you want copies early, I'll give them to you, or if you think of anything else, just get in contact with me.
Okay, I'll do it.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate this, and I'll be in touch with you.
Well, thanks a lot, Jess, and you have a nice day.
You too.
Take care. Talk to you later.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.